Hello, welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast. I'm Paul Sullentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We're going to talk Shocker basketball postseason with Bob Lutz, co-host of The Drive on KFH, 1240 AM, 97.5 FM with his son Jeff. He's also the founder and chairman of League 42. Let's get the League 42 talk out of the way. You guys are, you're ramping up. You've had your first practices, right?
Well, we had our first practices. We're finding it difficult to get our second and third days with all the rain. But yeah, we're gearing up for our sixth season. It starts April 15th at McAdams Park, and just toiling away, getting things ready for another great season.
Excellent. That's been a fun project to follow, and really nice job. Let's talk about the Shockers. We'll start with the bracket, with the draw. The AAC tournament, Wichita State, starts Thursday night. They play East Carolina, a team they beat twice during the regular season. When you look at the bracket, what do you think about Wichita State's spot in there?
Well, you like their chances in the first game, for sure. And then you get Temple, a team that Wichita State has had excellent games with. They've been able to beat Temple once. They've lost a couple times. But you don't think, well, they can't do that. They can't beat Temple. So you would like them to at least have a fighting chance to get to the semifinals.
Yeah, that Temple series has turned into an entertaining one in Wichita State's short history in the American. Is that a style thing?
You know, Temple's not overly big. They're not a very tall team. They play a tempo that I think suits Wichita State. I think Wichita State likes that tempo. But I don't know. They have been very entertaining games, all of them. It's fun to watch. Temple has very good perimeter players. The Shockers have good perimeter players. They guard a little better than Temple, but Temple probably has a little bit of an edge in the firepower ledger.
Al's more experienced. I think in the earlier meeting, Wichita State had 21 turnovers. That was a big factor. I think Wichita State's guards are much improved from that earlier meeting. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. You know, the Shockers have gotten better as the year has progressed. We knew they'd have a tough start in the American. It seems like most of their difficult games were stacked against them early, and they did not fare well. But they've won 8 of their past 10, I believe, in the conference. And as they've played teams that they can beat, they've beaten most of them.
Yeah, we've had 2 years to look at this, the way the American schedules. It's quite different than the Valley, which was 10 teams, true round robin, 18 games. This is, you play some teams twice, you play other teams once, and it's kind of done by power rankings and for TV. How do you like how the schedule kind of affects the, you know, the ebb and flow, the ups and downs of a season?
Well, you always check it very early to see who are we missing. You know, the Shockers missed playing on the road this year at Central Florida and Temple. They missed playing home against Houston and South Florida. All four of those teams are good teams. So in that way, the schedule did the Shockers a little bit of a favor this year. Last year, I think they missed playing some of the lower seeded or the lower finishing teams. So it'll be interesting to see what next year's schedule looks like. I know it'll upset us if we have a year where Cincinnati doesn't come to Wichita or something like that.
I hope Cincinnati and Tulsa are protected. I'm sure Tulsa is, I imagine. What I've liked about it, what I think, it just worked out perfectly. It probably won't work out like this every year, but these last 2 weeks at the top of the conference have been really exciting and worked out great from an NCAA perspective, because you had Central Florida, Temple, Cincinnati, Houston all playing each other, and worked out great because Temple won a game or two it really needed. Central Florida won 2 games it really needed.
Yeah, the thing about the potential matchup with Temple in the quarterfinals would be the Temple very much needs that game to secure its spot in the NCAA tournament. So they definitely have something to play for. Houston and Cincinnati are in. We think probably Central Florida would be a lock at this point. But Temple would be that team that probably needs to win at least a game, maybe two, to guarantee a spot. And then you've got Memphis, which is a good team, and they're playing at home in this tournament. And if they catch fire and they were to beat, we think they'll beat Tulane, but then they play Central Florida, certainly capable of winning that game. You'll get that city going a little bit, and the crowds will reflect that. So, to me, Memphis is a real wild card in this tournament, a team that could win the at-large.
yeah, by Friday or Saturday, I'm...
Or the automatic, not the at-large.
Right. By Friday or Saturday, I'm expecting complaints from rival coaches about playing this game on another team's home court if the Tigers do get rolling.
Aren't they moving this to Oklahoma City at some point?
Be Fort Worth next year. Okay. I think it's a four-year deal in Fort Worth.
Okay, so Fort Worth.
Yeah, that'll be obviously more neutral. Be great for Shocker fans.
Yeah, that's a great trip.
Yeah, they will flock to Fort Worth, no doubt about that. I think looking at the bracket overall, you're glad to be on the opposite side from Memphis for the reasons you mentioned. I think you're glad to be on the opposite side of Houston, which is pretty clearly the best team in this conference. We know how the Shockers match up with Tulsa or with Temple. If you want to look way down the road, the thing I like about playing in Cincinnati is, you know, they're offensively, the Bearcats are not great. You might be able to score 65 points and win that game.
Yeah. Cincinnati's an interesting team, the way they play. They're very athletic. Jaron Cumberland is the guy that just gets it done. He figures out a way. He may not be the most skilled player we've ever seen, but he's certainly a determined and tough player. And then Cronin, their coach, is a really good coach. So you hope to see, you know, it'd be fun to see the Shockers and the Bearcats playing for something big in the semifinals of this tournament.
Has that turned into the game that people are looking forward to the most, the rivalry, do you think?
Don't you think Cincinnati is now the Shockers' big rival? Based on all the years they played in the old Missouri Valley Conference together, based upon the two coaches and their personalities and some of the fireworks we've already seen, Cincinnati has a tremendous and loyal following. I think undoubtedly, for right now, Cincinnati is a big rival for Wichita State.
I'm a little disappointed Tulsa has not stepped up more. That's obviously got so much potential. It's got history akin to what Cincinnati and Wichita State has. I would like to see that rivalry become more of a big thing again.
Boy, it just seems sterile right now. It just seems like there's nothing moving the needle at Tulsa. They're an average team in an arena that's not very big. They don't fill it. Just seems like college basketball has really taken a back seat to a lot of other things in Tulsa right now. Too bad, because we all remember what that was like back in the 80s and 90s, and certainly the best rivalry maybe Wichita State's ever had in those years. But it's not like that now.
All right, we're 2 years into the American Athletic Conference, or I guess not quite done with 2 years, but enough to have a big representative sample size. What are your impressions on this conference? How has this big move worked out for Wichita State Athletics?
Well, you know, we just lost Dr. John Bardo yesterday, and he was obviously instrumental in making this happen, as he was in so many other things that affected this university. But this is the best thing that's happened to Shocker Athletics maybe ever, going to the American. It was time to leave the Valley. The Valley had deteriorated to the point where it was not fun coming to games. It was not fun to Wichita State's just exploded with its basketball program, and the Valley couldn't keep up. So now you're in a conference where you have other teams that are on par, better, something for Wichita State to strive for. I think it's just been a tremendous thing. I find myself watching a lot of American Athletic Conference games on television. Sorry, Paul, but I don't watch many Valley games. Even when the Shockers were in the Valley, I didn't watch many Valley games, especially for the last 10 years or so. But this conference is fun to watch. Every team has good players. I mean, Tulane, which didn't win a conference game, has some good players. I mean, good players. So it's a lot more fun to be in the American.
I think where I noticed it, the stretch where Wichita State played, I think Memphis, SMU, UConn, and those were essentially games, teams in the middle of the conference, middle to the bottom of the conference, and they were entertaining, high-level games. I really appreciated and enjoyed that.
Yeah, that's the way good conferences are. You look at the Big 12 this year with Oklahoma State, but they were tough. They could be very, very difficult to beat at times. So top to bottom, and I include even Tulane in this because they came very close to beating Wichita State. They played pretty well of late. They're not going to win a game in this tournament, but they're a program with a lot of young players that you could see, if you're a Tulane fan, one of the seven or eight that are out there, you could have some optimism.
American should get four teams in the NCAA tournament. At least they've got a really good chance at that. And then you throw in, if you want to get, you know, really optimistic, maybe Memphis makes a run at home. What do you like about the future of this conference? How do you think it's positioned going forward as consistently getting three, four, those kind of teams in the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, well, I haven't studied the rosters to know what kind of veteran players are going to be lost this year. But you trust that Kelvin Sampson and Mick Cronin are going to be able to reload programs like that. They have for many years. Central Florida with Johnny Dawkins, it seems like they've now made it a real statement that they're more than just a football school, that basketball has some meaning there. And there are some other good coaches in the conference. Penny Hardaway is recruiting like crazy. They're signing a lot of very good players. He's got Mike Miller on his staff. That would be an attractive destination for a high school player, I would think. We know that Greg Marshall's not gonna fold his hands and say we can't compete here. He'll be a guy to watch as well. So you have to think that. And UConn, surely Dan Hurley will get that program back on solid footing. So a lot of interesting teams and programs, and I think the Americans here for the long haul.
Yeah, when you look at a conference that may get four teams in this year, and you're not talking about UConn and you're not talking about Memphis, which are two programs, history and resources-wise, should be up near the top. I think that's a good sign for the future of the conference. Any downside to being in the American? Any nagging worry that's in the back of your mind from a Wichita State perspective?
You know, the worry initially was that there were a lot of schools in this conference that wish they weren't, like Wichita State kind of felt about the Valley at the end. You know, some of these teams and programs and athletic programs in the American feel like they're Power Five ready, that they could make that leap without much trouble at all, UConn, Cincinnati being among those. So you hope that everybody kind of finds a level of satisfaction to where they feel like this is a good fit long term. It's hard to know how they feel. I mean, UConn women's basketball, I can tell you Gina Auriemma is not thrilled to be in the American Athletic Conference. There's no competition for him. Some of the teams with football programs, I'm sure, get frustrated. Central Florida, chief among them, that they go unbeaten 2 years in a row and don't get into the college football playoff. So I'm sure there's a level of frustration out there. We're in Wichita, where this is a brand new experience for us, so we're enjoying the heck out of it. But maybe in UConn and other places, they're saying, man, we're good enough to be a Power Five. We've got the football goods. We've got everything that anybody would ever want. And we're just not able to fit ourselves in.
I think UConn is the one that feels a particular sense of loss and frustration. You know, they were part of the Big East and just had great rivalries with all those Northeastern big city schools, and I think that is something some of them really regret. They've just, now they're kind of stuck up there geographically. Temple would be the only one that would be close, and they've got to try to make the best of it.
Yeah, and in UConn, I mean, I remember back in the day when they were in every NCAA tournament, making deep runs, winning championships, and you'd run into UConn along the way in the NCAA tournament, and there'd be 20 or 30 beat writers from different papers up in that area, and that's such a big deal at UConn. So I know initially when we talked to some of the beat writers back in Hartford and in that area, they were like, you know, UConn would love to get out of this conference. I don't know if that's still a feeling or not, but that's certainly something that I'm sure the American folks in the American Conference keep tabs on.
Wichita
State
doesn't
sound like there's going to be any restructuring for a little while. I think it's coming, but it sounds like it'll be a few years.
Yeah, that seems to have calmed down for the time being. And Connecticut is obviously an important member of this conference, and if you could, more longer you can keep them around, the better off you are. Shockers started 1-6 in the American, as has been detailed over and over again. Then a strong finish. They're 10-8. They fought their way to sixth place. Why did they improve? What happened with this team?
Well, the schedule lightened up. We have to. That is a part of it. The growth of the young players has been evident, especially in Dexter Dennis and Jamarius Burton. Those guys have really taken off and become better players. And the growth in some of their, even their veteran players, like I guess you couldn't call Jaime Echenique a veteran of Division I, but he is a junior. He's played junior college basketball. He's played very well. Asbjorn Midgard has really come around. I got to admit, I never saw him as a guy who was going to be a contributor. And I don't know why. He just didn't get to play much last year. We never saw him on the floor. And then from the comments that Greg Marshall was making, it became, in my mind, doubtful that he would ever do much at Wichita State. But my mind's changed on him. I think he's got really good upside. He's fun to watch. You know, he's a guy that we didn't know if he had the stamina to play Division I, but I think he does, and I think it's going to be fun to watch he and Echenique next year. I think with those two guys up front, Wichita State has something that not a lot of teams do. Two skilled big men.
And that may play out important in this tournament. Temple would be a team where if Wichita State's big men can really get going, that may be a spot where they have a definite edge. Pick a key shocker entering this tournament, entering the postseason, who you think will be important if they're going to make some waves over the next few weeks.
Well, we've seen Marcus McDuffie have a very good year. Just missed out on being a first-team All-AAC player. Many Shocker fans feel like he should have been, and I can listen to that argument. I think Marcus has to play smart basketball. If he plays smart basketball, then I think the Shockers have a much better chance. And when I say smart, don't take the shots that aren't good shots. You've got a team now around you. Early in the year, they needed him to do whatever it took to score points. Now, as some of these guys around him have gotten better, they're 30 games into their careers. It's hard to call them young players anymore with that many games under their belt. So let them continue to take on quite a bit of the load. You still need to obviously be a factor, and you will be, but I would say McDuffie is the key as the Shockers go into the postseason.
Yes, if he can go on another really efficient run where he's making 4 out of 6 threes, and like you said, taking smart shots, really letting the offense work for him, that can make a big difference for this team, definitely.
Agreed.
Future, who do you see as the foundation of this? You mentioned the two big men that you're intrigued with. Where do you see this team going in the future, and who's going to play lead roles in that?
Well, you wonder about the point guard situation, although Jamarius Burton's handled it pretty well. I'm not sure that that's his natural position, even though he's got a pretty good assist-to-turnover ratio. He's strong with the basketball. So you feel like he can be a guy that can help you in a lot of different places. Dexter Dennis intrigues all of us. We look at that athleticism and the way he's put together and the attitude that he seems to have. I couldn't believe there was no reaction after his winning three-pointer against Tulane. I just thought that was... Where do you find that in a player these days where it's showboating and me, and the reaction was, there was no reaction whatsoever. Still want to see him slash, take the ball to the basket. I think he has that skill. My goodness, he's tremendously athletic. I think there's room for him to grow, and I think Dexter Dennis is the next guy here at Wichita State. I think he's the next in that line of outstanding players. Now you can say that line of players who have gone to the NBA. I think it's a little bit rash to predict that Dexter Dennis is going to be in the NBA, but he certainly would seem to have that capability.
Dexter averaging 8.5 points in American play. The big stat, he's 32 of 80 from 40% three-point range. That seems to have been one of the big things that's really helped him get going. Yeah, what have you seen? What's kind of flipped the switch for Dexter?
That shooting, I don't know that he's completely a different player than I thought he was when the season started. I thought he was a defender, a little bit T'Kale Cotton-like. T'Kale, early in his career, you didn't want him taking a three. Now, he got to the point where he was okay taking three-pointers. But Dexter Dennis, I did not see as being a perimeter threat. I thought he would be a get the ball to the basket type of threat with his athleticism, quickness, and speed. So he's been a little bit of a revelation to me in that way.
Continues to rebound, averaging in American play 5.4 rebounds a game, which is second on the team. No doubt, he's very versatile. He will be a very good two-way player for this program. That seems apparent. Let's wrap it up, talk about the two seniors. How will Marcus McDuffie be remembered around Coke Arena by Shocker fans?
Well, McDuffie's legacy started when he was recruited because he was such a highly touted player in high school, played for a tremendous program. And for the Shockers to get him to come to Wichita State just was a continuing sign of the progress Greg Marshall has made in the program to be able to attract a player of that of that stead to come to Wichita State. And then he hasn't disappointed. He's going to be the second, only the second player in the Greg Marshall era to average 15 points per game or more in a season, which is a shocking statistic to me. But it sort of indicates the way Greg Marshall coaches. Balance, lots of guys who can do things, especially score. But outside of Cleanthony Early, there's not been another one who's averaged 15 points or more in a season. So McDuffie's legacy is firm. He'll be a guy that's remembered as part of the Wichita State power years. For Samaje Haynes-Jones, I love seeing City League players play at Wichita State. I think that's an important component. We all know Samaje's story and losing his mother and playing a Hutch JUCO and doing well enough over there to come here and really not being a huge factor last year, but stepping into a much bigger role this year. And I really liked Samaje as a kid, and Marcus has obviously grown up and matured tremendously. And two guys that will be missed, but the key now is to recruit at a level that you get back to the top of this conference, which is a more difficult challenge than getting to the top of the Missouri Valley.
The thing I will appreciate about Samaje, he had the three buzzer beaters, which I think people, or the two buzzer beaters, which I think people will
like
remember.
Those, don't
yeah,
they?
those are exciting, especially to have him at home. But I appreciated he was never a player who showed any fear. You know, even when things were not going right or going great, he didn't back down. And I think that was important on this team, that he was willing to take tough shots. He was willing to have the ball late in the shot clock. It didn't always work out perfectly or the way you would want, but I think he never shrunk from those kind of moments. I thought that was important. I think Marcus will be he will be in the Shocker Hall of Fame at some point in his career. When I went back and looked at his career, his sophomore year maybe gets a little overlooked. He was second in Missouri Valley Conference Player of the Year voting. Paris Lee ended up winning it. Marcus was second. And that was a big year coming off, you know, you lost Ron Baker, you lost Fred Van Fleet. So there was some transition there. I think he will be remembered as, you know, he's not going to be probably in the top tier of Greg Marshall guys, which I guess would be Ron and Fred.
It'd be fun to rank those at
yeah,
some point.
Yeah, it would be. That'd be.
We're getting to the point now where Greg's had enough guys that you could do a pretty interesting ranking of his players.
Yeah, we love rankings. People love rankings. I guess Ron and Fred are always going to be, you know, at the top of that. But I think Marcus is.
Where would Landry Shamet fit?
Landry Shamet, yeah. He would be, I guess he would, then you'd have to start going to factors. Landry played two seasons
right
here, did not play the four, so you factor that in. But certainly those three would be at the top.
And the most underrated player maybe the Shockers have ever had is Cleanthony Early.
Cleanthony Early.
It's almost like we've forgotten a little bit about him, but we shouldn't, because he was on the team that went to the Final Four, and then he was the leader of the team that went 35-0. So his 2 years, that's what he was part of. I don't know that anybody has that kind of a legacy, especially a two-year player, that they were able to be in and be such an integral part of two seasons like that. Cleanthony is, and he was a fantastic player, and who knows what his NBA career might have looked like had he not been involved injured in the shooting. You know, I'd love to catch up with Cleanthony Early.
That would be interesting.
And just see what's going on with that guy. Is he supposed to be on the Shockwaves this summer? Is he one of the guys that they're advertising for that? I think so.
I think so, but I'd have to go back and check. I would agree. I think underrated for whatever reason is it's slipped a little bit. I think you can make an argument his number could be retired when you start talking about his
Orange
NCAA
Bally.
Tournament. I know you're going to talk about Orange Bally first. When you start talking about Klee's NCAA tournament accomplishments, there's not anybody who's did some of the things he did in the NCAA tournament.
Well, he was great in the NCAA
tournament. Yeah, and he was on the all NCAA tournament team. He's the only Shocker to have done that. I think you could have that discussion, and it's not nutty.
It's almost like he just swept in here for 2 years. Did all this stuff, left, and never to be heard from again. I think he may have come back for a game after his Shocker career. That rings a bell, but I'm not really even sure about that.
Yeah, I don't know if I've seen him or not since he was here. Definitely a lot of good players. That's a good project to get on ranking Greg Marshall. Greg Marshall era players. I think Marcus will definitely be remembered. Among the best of them. He's had a very good career, and as Greg Marshall has said, kind of a bridge guy. He's had to make a couple of transitions and has done well this year, included in kind of carrying this team at some critical points.
2 years in the Valley for Marcus and 2 years in the American for Marcus. So that is a bridge guy. That's the guy who was right in the middle of the transition.
He is the last Shocker to have played in a Valley game. It is amazing how quickly athletes who played in the Valley have departed from this campus. There's very few left on volleyball, very few left on baseball. Women's basketball will lose its last ones this year.
Mm-hmm.
Sabrina Lozada Cabbage would have played in the Valley. And then Marcus is the only men's basketball player. So we'll be 3 years out and
very little
left.
Little left of the old Valley.
Yeah, in those sports. Very good. Well, Bob, thank you very much for your time. Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast. This has been Paul Sollentrop with Wichita State University Strategic Communications.